Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? I've had 2 days of break, and I'm back. And there's lots happening. We have a public statement from the crazy plane lady. That is amazing. We still don't get a clear addressing of the realness of this passenger. It seems to me that, you know, she says, I'm sorry for using curse words. Seems to me that this has nothing to do with curse words. I was not offended that she used the term motherfucker back there. Why can't we never get a public addressing with honesty of something? Like, there is something in your brain that went wrong, and it was about this motherfucker being unreal and somehow threatening the plane, threatening the fact that the plane would reach its destination. Can't fix crazy, says John Drake. A lot of people are also talking about this song by the red hair guy. I didn't know about the song. It was presented to me on Friday night when I appeared on the discussion podcast. And so I was not introduced to it. I've now watched it in full. It's an okay song, you know, but it's I don't know. It's the plight of the base worker of America. It's a little bit white tears, as I pointed out on the show. And white tears is this way to dismiss white suffering. So I don't like the term, but it remains the case that this is a guy complaining that he's not getting paid enough, and he's getting paid enough, probably. He's probably getting paid enough. Maybe we are squeezing the lemon to the point where his generation or the generation after him might not be able to get houses. That sucks. But the song fails to identify the parasitic problem of the state behind this. And so I'm on the fence on this song. We'll get to it. Ants building a living bridge using their bodies to invade a wasp nest. Look at this. I mean, this is taking a curved direction to get from A to B, if I've ever seen it. It's probably not the intended behavior. I don't know why the ants would have an interest in going such a long way to get to the wasp nest, but it seems like you could just go straight, but none of the ants are going straight. They're all using this chain. But I guess this chain has a function in other conditions. Perhaps this chain is very useful when you are going up a tree and the path from one branch to another is not obvious. But here it's like, why? Why don't you use the straight route? If it works, it works, says new guy. Absolutely, that is the standard of evolution. And look at this. Most of the ants are losing their time just forming the chain, and there's just a couple of ants making their way. Someone suggests that the ceiling may be maybe not sticky enough, but, you know, it seems that they have no problem being totally vertical on this part of the ceiling. I'd be surprised if this was fundamentally a different material here. Like, if you can't grip the ceiling, you're going to tell me that you can grip ant legs that are popping out of this freaking chain? What the fuck? Some of them are gathering back food that they stole from the wasp. Wow. Look at this, a little piece of something carried by the ant. Well, well, well. Fascinating. Firestarter says like 4 ants are carrying 1,000 ants. Oh, well, it's the opposite. 1,000 ants are carrying 4 ants. I need a break. I'll be back in 10 seconds. I'm feeling my nose and my allergies. All right, there was Velvi on the Discord who said the Oliver Anthony Richmond, north of Richmond. Everyone I know, and I know lots of blue collars, they have it on their Facebook feeds. Yes, I get it, I get it. The plight of the worker. I have great difficulty feeling empathy for this when I've been condemned to a life where I make much less than a lumberjack and a plumber. In many ways, I got lucky with investments like Bitcoin, but you know, the plumber can also get Bitcoins, but the plumber gets paid more than me. And so I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to cry for the plight of the industrial plant worker of all kind. I think they still get a decent life, an okay life. I don't like these complaints. People were reminding Bill Maher that the end of the Barbie movie gives the key to understanding the movie because Bill Maher had written this whole critique of Barbie. ER says, you missed the ending of the movie, Bill, when Barbie realizes that her plastic life was a delusion, and so she was shown the antidote to these zombie lies by her own creator, the antidote being a real life spent making babies. That's exactly what happens. I cannot believe that people act like this is not the Barbie movie. T.S. Apostolos says, when will he become the Yellowstone meme, JF? The Yellowstone meme. I have to check this out. I don't know. Steven Robinson says, the Trailer Park Boys are making a new TV show about life inside a refinery. Okay. There is something I didn't know about the universe. Amazingly, there is an interrogation mark. There is a galaxy that is totally like an interrogation mark. Dup, dup, and the little dot at the bottom. Isn't it fascinating? It's hard for me to zoom. I don't know if Twitter will let me zoom. But look at this. An interrogation mark in the universe. As if God... You know... Whenever the believers ask me in a debate, Jeff, what would it take for you to believe in God? And I very often say, it would take the galaxies to be arranged in a text that says, hey, I'm God, welcome to the universe, I did this. But now we get an interrogation mark from God, and I'm like, What is God telling us here? Is God telling us, be curious, ask questions? Or is God telling us, what the fuck? I didn't expect this result. I produced this universe, and my reaction is interrogation mark, what the fuck, bro? Now, I don't think that this is a message from God. I haven't read the explanation of the experts, but I can already guess it. I believe this is a galaxy that has collided with another galaxy. I believe you had a galaxy here, and you had this dot that was coming, and then it it absorbs a part of the content of the galaxy through gravitational attraction, and then it creates this messy structure. And leaving behind the messy structure, it continues its way. And I would believe this is basically two galaxies that have entered in contact. T.S. Apostolos sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, wouldn't DNA as a codex require a sender? Mathematically and information theory applied. Well, there's nothing in information theory that says you have to have a sender. As I say in my book, this is something I say in The Moral Signal, although not published yet. I say the sender doesn't have to be something you would call a sender. Sometimes the environment sends us things. You know, the sun sends us photons, and these photons, they bounce on things on Earth, giving them their color, and our eyes capture the bouncing photons, and they derive the color of the thing from it. Was the sun the sender? Yeah. From an information theoretic perspective, the sender doesn't have to be intentional. And that is the only question that matters. It's that the sender has been mislabeled. You can have a view of information theory in which you don't postulate a sender. The sender is equally postulated in information theory as it is in creationism. So no, you can have a view of information theory that doesn't imbue those bits of signals to be intended by a sender. And then you realize there are natural mechanisms that lead to signaling systems emerging. Self-replication being nothing else than self-sending, by the way. What is self-replication? Well, it's a message that is copying itself. Copying itself toward a receiver structure, and therefore the message becomes the receiver structure. And that receiver structure will have babies in turn. Will replicate again, will be sending its genetic code to a receiver. So, and the receiver will become a sender in turn. So self-replication is just the natural thing that is a loop, an infinite loop of self-sending. Self-sending because you become the new, as the gene in the next generation, you become the new sender when you get to have babies, and you're the receiver as you don't have babies. There was a reaction recorded from the guy, Ain't Got a Dollar, that is his artist's name. He went viral with his song, Richmond, North of Richmond. It's very interesting as a play of word. You know how he slides between the rich man, Richmond, and he basically says the two very similarly with his accent. And so, okay, that's like Eminem level of, hey, I can make banana sound like lemon, banana. And it's like, okay, Eminem, great job. T.S. Apostolos sends a super chat. He says, not enough time to be statistically probable. Entropy wins via degradation. The answer is no. Entropy doesn't have to win against a replication system. If the replication system can exist within the parameters allowed by the flow of entropy, and we are in a flow of entropy, we are on a planet receiving constant streams of photons, and call it energy if you'd like, or information if you'd like, but we receive a stream of photon. There is nothing in the second law of thermodynamics that says a system of replication cannot develop within the gradient of entropy from the sun to the rest of the universe. in a gradient of entropy, there is place for a transaction, for a chemical event. And if that chemical event happens to be self-replication, you got life. So now I reject the entirety of your arguments, T.S. Apostolos. They are invalid. Life evolution makes sense even under the laws of physics.
It's crazy to me because I remember back in June I played here for about 20 people and but that's the beautiful part of this country though, is even an idiot like me can make something happen. So if I can do it, you can do it. Before we start singing, and I mean we, because I hope y'all are going to be singing too, I just had something I felt compelled to share with you.
Oh, Go Away is presenting a... Go Away is showing his skills at writing music in the same style as Eminem and this guy. After the rich man north of Richmond, Go Away says, "I'm a poor man south of Portland." I think you got a hit right there. You got a big hit.
This is in Psalm 37, 12 through 20. "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming."
Pretty based.
"The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that have righteousness than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will have plenty. But the wicked will perish, though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field. They will be consumed, and they will go up in smoke."
All right, so we got really a religious guy who says that the wicked will fall. Well, okay. Daybreak Theory says Psalms is completely based. Quebecensis says, "Thanks, Papa Jeff. Can you please comment on Canada's new rule preventing foreigners from owning property, if you are aware?" I'm not aware of the current state of it. I've seen the intent to do this, and it's I don't like it from a libertarian perspective. The reason it's been made is because there were people who started complaining that there were basically rich Chinese investors who were buying the whole real estate market, and they were not even living in that place. They were just buying it for speculative purpose or selling higher later. I don't know. I don't like a law that's basically designed to differentiate between the various uses of a thing, because I think it creates a skewed market. And ultimately, it's a skewed market that will result in a drop of the price of houses. No matter how strong that drop, I'm not super worried. But from a libertarian perspective, if you skew the market toward, oh yeah, you can just do this with a house, or you can just do that with a house, you are depriving the house of some of its value. Because if the house was an object of speculation, then the homeowners of Canada could hope to sell very high. And so it's a very biased law. And I personally disagree with it. I don't think it's dramatic. I think that the market, the Canadian market, can take this. And in a way, it's kind of base because it's going to keep the black rocks of this world to be just accumulating property and selling it back to us at unviable prices, which would create a situation where people can't live anymore. You know, everyone is on rent. And even the mortgages are basically jokes that rich people tell each other. And in reality, they don't intend you to be able to pay, but they drain from you from your best 10 years, and then they repossess the house, and then they sell to another person. They drain from him for 10 years. So, I'm on the fence about this law. It has good advantages, and it has also an effect that is unjust to homeowners, really. Go Away says the foreign buyers are a problem because they are far more likely to leave a house vacant and not lease it out, raising rental prices. Even from a libertarian perspective, you are allowed to prevent foreigners from owning property or even stock unless you believe in a one world government. No, it's not the combating foreigners that I take issue with. Yes, from a libertarian perspective, at least from mine, we are not in a one world libertarian bubble. We are, if you're going to be libertarian, if you're going to respect the free market, it's going to be a small bubble of the world, because outside of that bubble, of course, people don't respect the free market. People impose each other various laws. People are violent toward each other. People don't respect each other's property. They steal. So, of course, my libertarian conception of the world is an isolated bubble. It is not the foreigner aspect of this law that I take issue with. It's the fact of enacting this law changes the dynamic of the free market, which would naturally be a mechanism that raises the price of house to their just value. And that is a problem whether you include the foreigner part or not. One of the mechanisms by which houses reach their true value is speculation. You have to let the rich person fool himself into buying too much houses. And then as the price of houses rises, what do you have in your society? You have builders who say, hey, the same house that I would have bought that I would have built last year for 200K, I can build the very same house at the very same price now for $500,000. And so it's one mechanism. Speculation is one mechanism by which you have people encouraged toward the professions that will eventually build houses. If you don't have this, then you have builders always being at the floor of their capacity in terms of, oh yeah, I'm going to build it, I'm going to make just a little bit of money. So you don't encourage building. So one of the very vicious possibilities from just this messing with the free market is that in 20 years from now, we find ourselves with a house shortage. That is the big problem. What if we find ourselves with a house shortage in 20 years from now? All right, so the crazy plain lady, as she acknowledges, is her fairly attributed nickname. The crazy plain lady has come out and made a public statement. Let's hear it.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Tiffany Gomez, probably better known as the crazy plain lady.
Is it worth it? Is it worth it, guys? Should I smash? Or should I pass? Because here we have a heavily delusional woman. But she's beautiful. The particular scene in which she has spoken on the plane has demonstrated she has big boobs. What do I do?
Which is completely warranted.
But she's probably going to wreck my life, make false allegations about me, and think that I'm some kind of ghost.
As you know, I have been unwilling to speak on the viral video, but I do finally feel that it's time. First and foremost, I want to take full accountability for my actions. They were completely unacceptable.
She has these crazy eyes, not crazy eyes like together, but crazy eyes like after, I don't know if she's there, I'm convinced that she won't give any relevant comment on what happened in her mind that led her to believe that someone was not real. That seemed to me like an event of psychosis and schizophrenia.
Distressed or not, I should have been in control of my
to reduce this to a distress case. People who are distressed may be overly aggressive, overly angry, but they don't end up with the conviction that someone else is false. That is a very special thing that happened. You can be pissed, you can be in road rage, you can be hitting other people, but if you believe that the other person is not real, that is indicative of psychosis.
My emotions, and that was not the case. My use of profanity was
It's not about emotions, and it's certainly not about profanity. Can you imagine she's there saying she's sorry to have used the word motherfucker back there? But she's not explaining, what about the fact that he was false? How can someone be false? Was he a ghost in your head? Was he wearing a mask? You know, schizophrenic people can have the impression that other people have some kind of shape-shifting ability. Was that what she was feeling?
Completely unnecessary. And I want to...
It was not unnecessary, it was psychotic.
I apologize to everyone on that plane, especially those that had children aboard. Can't imagine going through that and trying to explain to your kid what in the world just happened.
Well, you don't explain it anymore here. There are probably parents who have explained it better to their kids than you are doing here. We don't get any insight. Yeah, she also said the plane would blow up, but it was linked to somehow, there's a fake motherfucker behind me, or beside me. This somehow, if you want to die, if you guys want to die. So there was a paranoia around some sort of conspiracy where this whole plane was a fake enterprise meant to deceive people to go die with a fake motherfucker. Who would be what, an agent of some kind of the government or whatever? Go away, says Jeff. This video was not produced for us. It was produced for potential future employers. Yeah, because when you look like this, you can get a 150K salary. Pretty much anywhere they will hire a bimbo like this. And so you have to preserve this asset, especially if she has a multi-million dollar house. She probably is costly on the bills. Quebec Nensis says, this was probably the greatest marketing stunt in a while. Her company has a very unique niche and seems to be very good at what they do. She shouldn't have apologized. Now she will surely be targeted by the government because she admitted wrongdoing. No, I don't think she will be particularly targeted. All she has to say is, I went crazy, sorry, and she doesn't seem to have committed crimes here. I mean, you could say maybe a disruption of public order, but that would be a very minor prosecution if this was to happen. I think the prosecutors won't even care about doing it.
We all have our bad moments.
Well, there's no bad moment in my life where I've been convinced that someone else was a ghost or an unexisting person, an undead of sort.
Some far worse than others, and mine happened to be caught on camera for the whole world to see multiple times.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering is how many moments like this are happening in her life. I know it's none of my business if she had not annoyed anyone, but she has had one of these moments in public. So it's a public affair question, because there are not conspiracy theorists, but like the big meme about this girl is, well, was he real? But there are conspiracy theorists who are going way above this meme. They actually think, hey, there is something wrong with this flight, guys. And we'll get to one after her speech. But given that this has become a subject of public discussion, I wonder how many moments like this does she have in her life? How many moments like this does her husband have to endure? I would say it's probably on an everyday basis.
Sorry. Trying not to sound like Minnie Mouse. Well, it has been really...
Those thieves are too white. Those are not a true thief.
...really comical for everyone, and I have highly enjoyed so many of the memes. On the flip side, it is...
You can't honestly speak if you're wearing a plastic set of teeth above your teeth. Can you imagine you're in the mindset of, hey, I'm displaying fake teeth. And your brain cannot get into the, okay, let's be honest. Your brain is like, yeah, I'm just a fake cardboard. I'm whatever plastic angle I can display. Oh, yeah, Tim Cook finds the proper words. Those thieves are not real. This cleavage is not real. This highlighted eye with super dark mascara is not real.
Is very invasive and unkind. And I don't know what I would do without the love and support of my friends and family. They are loyal to a fault, and I don't know what I did to deserve them.
You probably just stood there and was beautiful.
Sorry, y'all. I hope that I can use this experience and do a little bit of good in the world, and that is what I intend to do. I hope that you guys can accept my apology and I can begin to move on with my life.
Gray says, do you think drug taking that she doesn't want to admit is possible? It's possible. It wouldn't be my first go-to. It wouldn't be my first go-to, because she didn't seem particularly under a state of alcohol or drugs of any kind. If it was a drug, it must have been a very specific drug, like a very psychotic-oriented drug. Because she seemed to be fully mastering her capacities, and she seemed to be making that statement in a very righteous manner that I would not expect a priori if you are on pot. And I would expect to have observed other things in her behavior if it was just weed, Stephen Robinson. So no, weed is not among my hypotheses here. So let's hear one of the conspiracy theorists. And I don't think there's any place here for conspiracy. I think we just have a case of a woman who's schizophrenic. It's very possible that everyone who's in her family knows exactly what happened. They know she's been doing it again and again since she's a young adult. And that is just the first time it gets caught on camera. But let me tell you, the people around schizophrenic people are suffering through all of these yelling and these accusations and these delusions every day. Every day. And I'm absolutely certain there must be people in our family who know exactly what's been happening, and they have seen her like that before.
Of the Plain Lady Saga, we're going to skip the introduction altogether and go right into this very odd and bizarre body cam footage.
Well, she's messing with TSA. We're probably going to arrest her for public intoxication.
Okay.
So, yeah. She's still continuing to be a headache.
Okay, so here we have the police officer saying she's messing with TSA and that she's publicly intoxicated. And now we have a flight attendant say that she also put her hands on them. We don't see it.
So this conspiracy theorist, you have to understand that when a police gets to a call, they will have very loose information that they've been told by communication on the earphone. When they arrive at the scene, they have their own judgment to do here. And probably what's happened is that by the time this police was arriving, it didn't clearly came up to him that she was inebriated. And it wasn't clear to him that any sort of assault had been happening. Very often, police will use their discretion to say, well, there's no injury. I don't know exactly if there was a bilateral contact, but if you tell me she hit you, I might as well think that you hit her, and perhaps there was just a collision. And so if there's no evidence on which the police can decide, well, did this actually happen, and it's grave enough that I will do something about it, he has the discretion to say, well, those are just testimonies that are not even under oath. I do not have to believe them right away.
On video, but again, we don't know what happened on first class. There is no video to show what took place as she was boarding off the plane. So she may have put her hands on the flight attendants. We just don't see it. But again, now we have a case of where the flight attendants are saying this woman had hit them, and we had the cop.
The police doesn't have to believe on statement of a witness or someone who was there in any way. You just don't have to believe that.
Cops say that she is messing with TSA and she's publicly intoxicated.
Well, that was the report on the earphone, but this is not a testimony under oath. You can say, all right, now I'm looking at her. She doesn't seem to be the way you guys described her, and so I see no crime.
But listen to what he says after this.
Because as we know, we need to remove her from the flight. She traded a whole, like, the plane and everything. So as we know, for us, it's something serious. I know maybe you can arrest her or anything, but I just need to know her need. If you just can get her information from me, that would be great.
Okay, we can ask her. If she tells us no, we can't do anything. We can try to ask her. We can't force her to try to identify herself. There's no criminal charge. They have no right to detain her.
Okay. So, we can't compel her to identify herself. We could ask.
Even if she's on drugs, intoxicated, she's on...
How is there no criminal offense here? You have flight attendants saying this woman who deplaned this flight due to her disturbance had hit us.
Well, thank God. Thank God that not every police will believe this, because there's already a problem of police believing a woman way too much. So we're already in a problem where police should actually believe people less when they arrive at the scene. So thank God we have this one policeman who decided to exert his discretion here. Okay, it's like you got hit. There's not even a mark of any kind. So it's just your statement. I am totally free as a policeman to say you collided with her. That is not an assault. An assault would need more standards. It would need, well, did she hit you intentionally? Did she hit you with the intent to hurt you? Or was there just a collision? Or perhaps you were retaining her arm and she tried to free her arm away? This is all questions that need to be asked before we're in the domain of physical assault. You can't just take someone who says, oh yeah, she hit me, and make a criminal allegation and criminal prosecution and arrest based on this.
Last time I checked, hitting on people is a criminal offense.
No, because there are certain hits that are accidental. There are certain hits that are collisions. There are certain hits that are compelled by self-defense.
The cop even says she's giving TSA a hard time, and that there could be public intoxication here. So,
while giving TSA a hard time, that is not enough. Very often it will get you kicked out of the plane, but from the perspective of a policeman, he's asking himself, is there a crime here? Because TSA might decide that she's a flight risk and put her on a no-flight thing. That's their thing. But as a policeman, his job is not this. It's, what is the crime, guys? Nothing weird there.
So why are they just letting this woman leave? Yes, we don't see her hitting the flight attendants on camera, but we don't know what exactly happened or what went down when they got...
It's because the only solution was for her to leave, and they were scared, actually, that they might have to keep her on the plane. Because the policeman realized, if there's no crime, I'm not going to be able to force her out. She's going to have to choose to go out.
Got to first class. Because the video ends as soon as she leaves coach. And then there may be some people that will say, well, she voluntarily left the plane and maybe they wouldn't let her leave. That's why she started hitting people. But that's not exactly true. You cannot voluntarily leave.
See, the guy assumes that, oh, she's hitting people. No evidence of this.
A taxiing plane. The only person that can allow you to leave a plane is the captain. Anything outside of a medical condition is a disturbance. And one...
Well, if you decide to leave the plane, they can try to stop you. But if the plane isn't flying and the door is open, she might be able to do so without too much obstruction.
On top of everything, you add on violence. Yes, you do have a criminal offense here.
So this moment, you want to come on the phone with American Airlines, so the cuz will be...
I don't care if I'm ever going to fly with y'all ever again. I want to know.
So she knows what are the consequences, which is another reason why I tell you this is not a case of drugs. She is pretty rational on understanding... My leaving of the plane will lead me to be on a ban list from your company. She says, I don't care about being on a ban list from your company. I'm not getting in that plane because it's going to fall.
So what happens to this flight right here?
They're going to screw you on us. Just let me hear you with us anymore.
Great. I don't ever want to fly with you ever again.
All right, ma'am.
She doesn't want to fly with them because she saw this lizard person inside the plane. She thinks it's she thinks that the unreal person is in with the company and perhaps the government.
Ma'am. Escorting me out and I'll never fly with them again.
Ma'am, since you no longer have a valid ticket or business on this side of the airport, we gotta escort you out to the public side.
So here we enter the only territory that is allowed by a criminal question here, which would be, well, the airport agents are free to tell you to please leave the airport. If you don't, then you have been informed that you were not welcomed on this property and you're staying against the will of the owner. Therefore, you are trespassing. That is the only criminal question here. You have the right to be schizophrenic and to be deluded.
Okay.
Where's your suitcase?
You ready?
It's on that flight.
If you don't leave, you'll be under arrest for criminal trespass. This is your warning right here.
Okay.
Pretty pleased with a cherry on top, will you please leave? I mean, how many warnings does this woman get? You're going to hear...
Pretty much everyone who gets through the process of being found guilty of criminal trespass gets a warning or two, just like we've seen. This is standard police behavior. They will ask, then they will press, then they will warn that, hey, this is the last time and I'm gonna prosecute you if you continue staying. Joël Surette says, wife material.
Hear this police officer give her another warning.
What? Am I leaving? What are you talking about?
Ma'am, if you don't leave right now, you could be under arrest for criminal trespass. Let's go.
Sometimes there's this sexy woman just hanging out at the airport. It's unbelievable. I think we see one pass here.
Leave right now. You could be under arrest for criminal trespass.
Let's go.
Like, holy shit, with nice legs.
Let that flight leave. Do not let that flight leave. Being dead serious. Do not let that flight leave.
You ready? Let's go.
Come on. You see how she's emotionally shocked? She really wants to stop people in that plane from dying. She has acquired the conviction there is something wrong with that plane because there was a false person in it.
You heard me say, like, do not let that flight leave. That flight's not going to make it to Orlando.
Let's go.
Not going to.
Why is nobody concerned what she is saying? Why is nobody asking her, why do you believe this plane will not make it to its...
Because they probably have a girlfriend, unlike you. So they know that this is a pretty regular fucking occurrence, and we need to start talking about it.
Destination. Because what if, let's say she did overhear somebody talking terrorists...
Like, can you imagine making a whole video with dramatic music behind? Because you've accepted to believe a fucking woman? Can you imagine how beside the track of reality you've been? This guy has decided to base an entire theory of the world governments, because we'll get to it. The world governments conspiring with a fake flight, fully filled with actors, crisis actors. All this on the faith of one woman and her delusions. For him, it's easier to think, my God, the whole world must be against this girl, than to think that she's just deluded. And to think that, yeah, not only is she deluded, there are so many people deluded like her that the police, they know, you know, they know. Just like Nick Fuentes, you know, he's never been with a woman, but he looked at her and he said, I know what's going on. Maybe the police knows what's going on also.
Activity. You would think at least the cops would want to ask that. Did you hear something? But no.
No, because it's absolutely irrelevant. When you have gone into that crisis mode, you're not going to get a single piece of useful info from this woman.
Nobody seems concerned. And if she was drunk, then she would be arrested for public intoxication. You can't be causing a scene and hitting people.
Well, if you don't have evidence that she's drunk, and the fact is, in her psychosis, she's capable of looking rational. She's probably relatively high IQ despite the delusions, despite the brain not functioning to a perfect state on assessments of truth and reality. So when you have high IQ enough so that you don't totally look, you know, out of place or not in control of your mind, she's going to be able to demonstrate that she's not drunk. She's going to be able to pass some test and some test of equilibrium, and she's going to be fine. The problem is in her neocortex.
People and drunk in public, you will be arrested for that.
Well, there's no evidence that she's drunk. The thing is, you don't know schizophrenia enough. And I can tell that you didn't have many girlfriends in your life. Go out there, go at a bar, pick up a random girl. I'm telling you, she's going to call you unread at some point.
I am guessing she passed a breathalyzer test.
But I'm telling you, 100% that flight also is not making it to Orlando.
And he says the breathalyzer test. I don't know that you can compel someone just because they're acting weird or nervous to a breathalyzer test, especially if it's not as part of the fact that they were driving.
And there's a lot of people on that flight. leave. Don't need to escort me out.
Yeah. You had your own warning. So, keep walking.
Oh, yeah. Until y'all see that fight blow up.
Okay.
Oh, man, I would love to get this degree of assurance in my delusions. It's such a pain living in the head of a scientist because every time I have an idea, it goes onto 50,000 layers of filter. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's not true because of this. Oh, well, maybe I'm deceived here. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong on this. And it's like, I never reach the truth. I love how easy that life is in her brain. I would love to live that way. You're going to see that fucking plane go down, all right? Oh, and life must be so relieved. It must be so relaxing to have a brain like this where, all right, she's decided that the plane was going down. In fact, even if you were to show her a video of the plane taking off and not going down, she's going to believe that something has been messed with the video, or, you know, the plane really was meant to go down, but they're just playing with me.
I'm sorry, how do you not get detained for saying something like that?
Well, because of the First Amendment, you fucking idiot. Cloud Warmer says, JF, if she was ugly and fat, people would have reacted differently. But she was hot enough with big milkers, so everyone acted accordingly. Exactly. And that is the evolutionary drive behind the crazy beauty curve. The genes know that if you're in a female that is beautiful enough, people will be like, they will be looking at you as you pass and say whatever crazy stuff. And they'll be like, oh, you know what? She's going to be good. Someone is going to take care of her. You know, with boobs like this, she's going to find a husband that puts her back on track. And it's amazing. It's amazing because it reminds me of going out with women who were schizophrenic. And it's like, I would pull them out of such shit lives that they were living. Like they were completely delusional. And I remember taking a woman out of her friend network and her crappy apartment. And I remember her guy friends who looked at me and I was like, I was throwing out a lot of her stuff. And I was like, all right, you're totally delusional. I'm gonna put you back on track. And I remember the guy looking at me and seeing me basically throw away a lot of our stuff, throw away our drugs. It's like, all right, you don't need that anymore. I'm going to straighten you. All right, here's some this drug, that drug, this drug. And I was getting rid of everything. And he looked at me and he said, oh, yeah, I think she's going to be better with you. I think you're going to be able to put her back on track. But there is, it's a fucking effort and it's a fucking pain in the ass to end all someone with such a disordered brain. I would recommend against it if you can avoid, but you can't. So you have to engage with it. Cloud Warmer says, JF, further to this remark, remember what they say, no matter how hot she is, some guy is sick of her shit. Sick of her shit. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think I get it. T.S. Apostolos says, she is a girl boss, JF. Also, this adds a complication. Exactly. She is delusional and she has a lot of power. Because if you have a $2 million house, well, who's going to be your husband? Like, your husband is either going to be a wagee and she's going to have all power over him and she's going to impose her delusions on him. He's going to have no choice but to go by the delusions. Or she's going to get a richer husband, but then the richer husband will find out, holy shit, I have to pay a high price for this particular beauty.
This is just so weird. And the cop just says, okay, what am I watching here? Now, I do have two theories here, but they both fall under the crisis actor theory. Either
two theories. In two theories, he can't think of one in which she's just fucking delusional. The two theories must involve crisis actors.
Everybody else on that flight was a crisis actor. That's why nobody...
Okay, so there's one theory where everyone on that flight was a crisis actor. Why would they do that? What is the point here? Some publicity for American Airlines or whatever the flight was?
Nobody acted concerned when she freaked out and nobody recorded that seating location. Because there
are- well, people were concerned. That's why they eventually warned the staff and she got kicked out. People in a plane, they are trying to reduce the behavior as much as they can. They're trying not to drag attention because they know anything they could do that's weird or violent could lead to a mega delay for everyone. So everyone is very much aware of this. That's why you saw people just staying straight and I don't want trouble and I don't want to make it worse.
We're all in on it. And she saw a scene or heard something she was not supposed to. Or these could just all be crisis actors, including herself. And
oh, so the second theory is everyone is a crisis actor, including herself. Why would this show demonstration be made? What is the point of it?
The cops. Because how are you not going to arrest this woman who is saying this plane's going to blow?
Well, for the explanations that I've just given. So this conspiracy theorist is absolutely invalid. Conclusion on this lady. We don't get much insight. We unfortunately don't get an addressing of, hey, you thought this guy was unreal. What do you apologize about this? Because here's one thing that I learned about schizophrenic women. If they decide that you are unreal, doesn't matter how much you pile on them, how much you explain to them, no, he's real, and oh, you have to apologize, they can apologize. But I note that in her apology, she doesn't say at all that she regrets saying it was unreal. And one thing with schizophrenic girls is once they are convinced of something like this, it's forever. Forever. Even as she was doing her apology, you have to understand the schizophrenic mind. She did her apology and you see how she redirected toward the children? That's because she's still convinced that it was unreal. She's still convinced that she escaped death by an inch. And she's still convinced that there was some kind of lizard guy on that plane with shape-shifting ability or ghost-like entities that weren't real and that were planning to bring her toward her death. That is my conclusion, and that is exactly why no matter how much apology she will give you, it will never say straight in a straight manner, this guy was real, because she still believes he's unreal. All right. Someone shared some data on Substack. It's a long article, but it's data about whether exposition to daycare environments is bad for you. And I would have guessed that it's bad for you, but this guy makes a beautiful case. Here's just a part of it. By comparing the Quebec children's psychological and behavioral outcomes with age-matched peers in other provinces, because, you know, Quebec went all out very early on this whole, you're going to get daycare for $5 a day. That was the whole promise of Pauline Marois, the $5 daycare. It leads to women being much quicker to go back to the workforce, and it leads to problems of attachment because they were able to measure the differential effect on a province where you do this and on a province where you don't. You have a couple of years before the other provinces followed up onto Quebec. So we had a couple of years of experimentation, and what we learn is program exposure, that's exposure to the daycare of the government. Program exposure is associated with worsened health and life satisfaction, increased rates of criminality, increases in aggression and hyperactivity are concentrated in boys, as is the rise in the crime rate. So that is the model on which we are basing current society. And basically all of North America is converging toward that model. These free, buy, or very low-cost, state-sponsored daycare. Just to get women to go do work that no one gives a shit about, like marketing and human resources. Give me control of your human resources. I'll give some money to my wife so she can buy food and stuff that's useful to the family. And there you go. You have solved the problem. We don't need a daycare anymore. Where is the father, says Lauren Wicks. I will finish tonight with this video. This is a perfect illustration, as people were mentioning, a perfect illustration of the state of America, where a mother unwilling to rectify the behavior of her black children is leading to a total invasion of private space, and the wife of the white man at some point tries to encourage him not to complain, but you're getting kicked by the child under the seat.
Trying to keep him occupied on the plane for 3 hours.
I understand. We're just trying to relax and get to our destination. We're all going to be here.
It's fine. Just stop in a sec.
The problem is you should never reach that level of behavioral disturbance. And the problem here is that if you have to tell a child of that age to stop doing this, you went wrong like 5 years ago. That is the problem. It's like there's no easy fix on this plane that I could tell you as a psychologist, you know, not a clinical psychologist, but a cognitive psychologist. There's no easy fix to stop this kid from kicking. The easy fix was 5 years ago, where you had to educate that child to be not invasive of other spaces, to be a little bit inhibited in the presence of other human beings that are not in the family, to teach them that the boundaries are tighter when, you know, okay, we're in the family, sometimes you're going to kick and make noise, but when we're in a public setting, your behavior needs to shut down a little bit. There's things that you wouldn't do in public that you might do for a couple of seconds in private. And here we have a black mother who is simply unable to correct. You can totally see what's the problem here. She's saying to him, that's wrong, and that's it. She is not providing a kind of punishment or a fear of punishment. And I don't mean like beating the child. I mean to impose your voice in an authoritative manner that says, hey, there's something really wrong here. And, you know, we're not going forward. You're not going to get any rewards. We're not going to do what you want until we fix this. You have to highlight to the child, there is a major problem here, and this is my priority, and I'm not moving on anything else until this is fixed.
You got a lot of energy, don't you?
Just talk to me.
I'm sorry. Do you care to, like, get your kid off the boat?
It's getting real.
I mean, have you ever had a kid on a plane for 3 hours? What would you do? What would you do?
She had a good point.
If that was my kid, he would be behaving.
He's behaving.
And here, he touches the real problem. It's all extremely subtle, what is being said here. If he was my kid, he would be behaving. The thing is, if he was your kid, he would have white jeans. If he was your kid, he would have a parent with white jeans. And ultimately, here we have the question of, are black people fundamentally parenting their kids differently, perhaps due to genetic parental skills that differ from the white population? Are they parenting them in a way that is too loose? And are they unable to parent better than this? That is the question here. And it's all, it's underlying here. See, if he was my child, he would be behaving. Knowing everything we know about genes, I have to say he's correct. But would it be because you know how to make him behave? Or would it be because you have pacified genes in your genome and you would have transmitted them to your child? And ultimately, is there any way this child could have ended up, that is the question in my head, is there any way this child could have ended up not kicking on the seat? Or is everything so genetic, including the behavior of the mother, the behavior of the child, the slightly increased capacity to invade on the personal space of others? If all of it is genetic, then there's nothing we can do about it. Other than make sure when you fly that you only have people like your children around you.
Definitely behaving. Yeah, now you.
Now she says he's definitely behaving. That is delusional. He's not behaving. He is invading the personal space of this guy through noise and these plane seats. They take hits a lot. I don't know if it's a thing with the suspension of the seat or maybe it's designed that way, but someone shaking your seat on the plane, you feel it much more than in a car.
I don't think you've passed on good manners.
I definitely passed on good.
Oh, and so now we have the parental critique. Now, is it out of place for him to say that? I would say it's quite gentlemanly. If his space has been invaded by someone, the least reply that he's allowed is certainly to invade the parental space here. Like, if you take a random person on the street who has not solicited you and not attacked you in any way, I would say it's out of place to comment on their parenting. But if their parenting has come to harm you, then you're entitled to go there.
I'm going to need you to turn around. I got this.
And now it's like, oh, she's making her attitude. I'm going to need you to turn around. Well, if the eyes of the white man onto you, his judgmental eyes, are harming you, certainly the kicks of your child must be harming him too. And arguably more.
I'm going to need you to turn around.
And this is not helpful here from the woman, although I understand where she comes from. It's not nonsense what she's saying. You're making a scene here. The thing is, ladies, when your man has decided to go on a fight, he's decided to. He's... The argument of, hey, is it really worth making a scene over this? Is a good argument, but it's an argument that was worthy when he didn't raise the black flag. He didn't go to war with his life. Now he's decided to go to war with his life. It is no time for argument anymore. Just respect the fight that he's in. Support him. If it is by saying absolutely nothing, it's totally fine. But just don't intervene in a way that will give the moral high ground to the black woman. Because now... And I wanted to show this video because I want to show you the viciousness of this woman and why ultimately this viciousness has transmitted to her child already, either through parental cultural training or through the genes. But she's immediately going to detect the tension between wife and husband, and she's immediately going to start highlighting it in a manipulative manner. Oh, listen to your wife. Listen to what she just said.
And play it off.
He stopped.
Okay.
Stopped.
And shut up at this point, because at this point, if you are truly interested in neutralizing the situation, you would be very happy of what you got here. You got the little boy has stopped kicking somehow. maybe per random, but okay, he did. Your husband has turned back forward. Now, when you repeat at that moment, and this is why he's making this face here, when the situation is already on the resolution path, and you come back and you say again, you're making a scene. Now, at this point, you are into the displaying of your moral high ground yourself as the female who has stopped your husband from engaging on an unproductive path. At this point, you are actively trying to shame him. You're repeating a sentence that has no function anymore because the situation has been neutralized. And now he's detecting, okay, my wife is currently moral displaying by shitting on me.
I mean, come on.
And now the boy has started again. I love the timing of this boy. I don't like his behavior, but I love his timing. It's like, he gives just enough time for the white man to withdraw on his war against his mother. And then suddenly, boom, he pops back in, but at a kind of odd, with a odd rhythm. It's amazing how he's working in tandem with his mother.
Stop, honey. Like, honestly.
You mean stop it?
Yeah,
I mean,
listen to your wife.
I'm on a roller coaster.
Listen to your wife.
And see the manipulative, crazy woman. That kind of behavior, I'm sure she deploys all the time onto our children. Oh, there's a tripartite set of interest here. Oh, and I hear that you're not totally with your husband here. Oh, and I hear that your father has told you to do this. And so this kind of, oh, I'm going to play the game of alliances here. And not only is my child invading a space that's basically 10 centimeters away from your asshole. But now I'm going to get into your mind by saying, hey, this whole triangle of love here, you know that she's giving you some very good counsel here. You should submit to your wife.
It's your best bet. Turn around and listen to your wife.
Hey, buddy, is there any way you can stop maybe kicking the seat?
Do not talk to my son.
Oh,
don't.
And she breaks the alliance immediately. It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna use you as long as you're smashing on the head of your husband, I'm on your side. But now, if you are joining your husband into parental counseling and commenting on my parenting abilities, don't talk to my son that way. So now you've invaded my space of the sanctified black parent who must tolerate every behavior of their children because that's just what they like to do.
Don't talk to my son.
Man. I was
talk to me like your husband did. Talk to me.
Have you considered reading a motherhood book?
Oh!
Have you considered reading a motherhood book? You can see that this guy is still a cucked normie in a way, although, that was pretty in her face. But I don't know if a motherhood book can save us here. I really don't know.
I was just
you're overstepping your boundaries.
Well, talking about boundaries, your child's foot is in my ass.
You are. And you're really starting to piss me off.
You're overstepping my boundaries. Yeah.
And look at her elevating, and you can see that the child is habituated to that response. The child is feeling the tension increase. This child has already seen this mother be violent. Because here she is now imposing her domination by standing, showing readiness to fight. This is a sick family, let me tell you. I'm not saying that the scene here is super dramatic. It's really a petty scene. But it's a petty scene in which you see a lot of pathology.
Yes. My kid is just fine. Turn around. No, you can turn
lower
around.
Your voice a little bit.
No, I don't need to lower anything.
I was asking you not...
So the white wife finds herself subject to aggression by sound alone. Now, this wife was standing against her husband, who was the victim of a much more physical type of aggression, which was the moving of his seat. If you have difficulty tolerating high voice, imagine your seat being shaken every second. That is much more invasive.
Nicely, and I was asking your son nicely.
Both of y'all together.
Can you not talk to my wife?
First of all, your husband.
Can you not talk to my wife? And see, this is what this is a testament to the importance of standing by each other as husband and wife. Once you open the door to a breaking of this link, once you show yourself to be willing to be so disloyal so early, now you are stuck with, well, are we together still? Well, to what extent do you agree with me on this? And, oh, well, I disagree with you on that. And, oh, well, you're making a scene. And now he's like, well, don't talk to my wife. Okay, so now you're protective of your wife. She was dropping you a minute ago. And now she's going to revert her psychological manipulation and now focus on telling the wife about her husband.
First of all, your husband is disrespectful.
Do not.
Your husband is disrespectful. So she seeds all this conflict in the couple, and all of this was allowed by the white woman, ultimately. If the white woman hadn't initiated a display of irreverence toward her husband, this is why it's so important we go back to husband and wives is forever, and it's I stand by you for better or worse. Because if you open that door just a little bit, there's a bunch of psychos out there just willing to drive into it.
Your husband and my husband. No, okay, well, I'll point at you then.
I'll tell you what's disrespectful, the way that you're talking.
Can you imagine this, the psychopathy of it? Don't point to my husband, please. Okay, I'm going to point to you then. I think she's trying to signal that pointing here is overly aggressive in general. You have to be kind of psychopathic and autistic in a way to say, all right, I won't point toward your husband. I will point toward you then.
Talking to us, right?
So I just respect whatever rules you have explicitly stated, not more than this.
Now is really
and the way that you turn around and talk to my son, and you talk about reading a book.
Yeah.
Oh, and now we have the whole. This is getting up like a bread in the oven. This is inflating. Now we have the whole sous-entendu of, well, you told me to read a book. You're white, I'm black. Do you think we don't read books?
Need to read a book, and then maybe you wouldn't be entertaining back here.
Maybe you should join a mother's group and maybe get some pointers on how to be a mom.
Join a mother's group. All right, that was hilarious. What a world. I'm so happy I live away from this. All right, guys, that was it for tonight. This was the news. So much friction out there. I don't think human beings are made to be so close to each other. I think there should be a minimum distance between houses, a minimum distance between seats on any vehicle, including planes. I think there should be a minimum distance to everything. And I've gathered that distance by moving away from civilization, and I've never regretted it. Thank you.